We're back with Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. And that is the pipe organ at St. Jude the Apostle Church in Wauwatosa. It is one of the instruments being showcased during this year's North Central Regional Convention of the American Guild of Organists.
We recently joined St. Jude's Director of Liturgy and Music, Crawford Wiley, who's playing for us today, and Larry Wheelock, who's coordinating the convention in Milwaukee at the church, to hear this instrument and to learn more about the convention.
Well, the American Guild of Organists is an organization that's about 125 years old, and it was founded to give support to organists. We are, in many ways, an educational institution, but we also give collegial support to organists and choir directors nationwide. The organization currently has just under 15,000 members in the United States and a few in Europe. And we hold national conventions in even-numbered years and regional conventions all over the country in odd-numbered years. Local chapters, of which there are 14 in our region, bid for the opportunity to do a regional convention, and it's kind of our turn. We have not done a regional convention in about 30 years, so we're very happy to host this, and it's also a special occasion for us. This year is the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Milwaukee chapter.
And Crawford, how long have you been playing?
I started when I was 13.
So for you as a working organist, what does the Guild do for you?
For me personally, I haven't had that much interaction with the Guild, but the Guild is enormously responsible in the local area for putting on different events that support particularly students. Educationally, the Guild plays a huge role in that.
When you talk about young students and people who are interested, this is a monstrous instrument to get your hands and feet around.
Oh, sure, yes.
You know, and not just this one, but pipe organs in general. How interested are young people in playing this, Larry?
Well, it's interesting. Young people are not playing the organ in the numbers that they were perhaps 50 years ago, but there is a very avid and skillful group of young people coming up as organists. We have, in fact, made it a point to have in our convention as performers, fully a third of our performers are under 30. So these are people who have gone to university to study organ, and in many ways we're kind of seeing a renaissance of younger people playing the organ, not in numbers, but the quality of the organ playing by the young people is just far and beyond. I'm just astounded. People as undergrads are playing the type of music that I was only ready to play in graduate school, so not only are we still getting wonderful organists who are young, we're getting very high quality organists.
The other thing I think that's interesting about the organ repertoire is that there are a lot of people writing now for it.
That's
true. Opposed to, I mean, there are in other classical music venues, there's modern classical music, but it seems like the organ repertoire is constantly expanding. I'm always hearing about new pieces.
And in fact, we have commissioned a piece by a Wisconsin composer, Jeffrey Harriet, which will be premiered at one of our recitals at the Cathedral of St. John the Evangelist, specifically commissioned for this convention, and hopefully will be a good addition to the repertoire.
So Crawford, when you are approaching a new piece versus, say, something that you might be very familiar with,
sure,
Bach, for example, who wrote a lot for the organ, how do you approach a new piece?
Same way. You don't want to approach an older piece of music with a kind of boxed in mindset. You want to approach it openly, knowing what the composer's frame of reference is and what he or she is thinking of aurally. But yeah, I would say that hopefully you have the same open mindset to both, so that you don't have a path already predicted for the interpretation of the piece.
Okay. What are contemporary composers doing, and Larry, you can jump in on this too, that might be different from, say, the piece we heard, which is what, late 1800s?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Well, obviously they're limited to the same notes and sounds that we all have, but they're putting them together in different ways. I see a lot of experimentation in form, and I see a lot of experimentation in color and range. I see composers experimenting with what are the limits to the variety of sounds that the organ can make. And yet there's another school of composers that are doing things in a very traditional way, but with modern harmonies.
When you say modern harmonies, what does that mean?
Well, for example,
more dissonance?
That would be one way to approach it. Although I have to be careful in saying that, because if you study the music of Bach, you will clearly see that there is dissonance there, but he resolves it in particular traditional ways, whereas modern composers are not always beholden to make those kind of resolutions. So you might get some dissonance that goes through the piece, and a piece might even end with a dissonant sound, and that kind of separates it from the traditional music.
I think there's also a process of learning. If you've learned to appreciate different styles of painting, you come to see that the texture of the paint itself can be a source of intense beauty in a way that in older forms of painting, the French academic school of the 19th century, you might not notice the brushwork itself, whereas in, you know, say a Jackson Pollock painting, that's precisely the point of it, or at least one of the points. So I think if you're listening to more recently composed organ music, or really any kind of music, and you think, oh gosh, it's dissonant, you might want to think, well, what is the point of the music anyway? What is the composer going for? Because if you're just noticing dissonance, you're probably not seeing the right thing. You might want to open your ears a little bit.
Right, yeah, you're stuck on that one point, and you're not letting it feed you.
Yeah, because there's so much beauty there to wash over you, yeah.
Well, and the thing about, and we're standing, or I'm standing, and you're sitting in front of this organ that was put in not too long ago.
2009.
So it's only 10 years that it's been here. Describe what we're looking at, if you would.
So you see in front of you three keyboards, which roughly correspond to the piano keyboard, and then a pedal board, which is essentially the same thing. Each keyboard controls a different number of sets of pipes. So a rank of pipes controls all of the notes of one particular sound. So for instance, this. That's the 8-foot principal pipe on the grate, which is the middle keyboard. And yeah, so you pull out the 8-foot principal stop and you have wind rushing into the wind chest for, that particular rank. So for every stop, there's a particular set of pipes. Some of them are flue pipes, like that principal. They work essentially like a recorder. And others of them are reed pipes, which work more like a clarinet. And we actually have a stop called the clarinet. Some of them are trumpet stops. So each keyboard controls a different set of those pipes, and I guess that's the simplest way to explain it. You then combine all of those in various ways according to what palette you want to use.
Is that written into the music, or is that up to the organist?
That's a really interesting question.
Yes.
Some pieces of music are prescribed very closely by the composer as to which stops to use, and that's really perplexing because no two instruments are alike. So even if the composer specifies to the nth degree what stops you should use, the chances that your instrument, even if it has that particular stop, will actually have that stop voiced in the same manner as the composer intended is really unlikely. So you always have to use taste and judgment. This is why educating yourself about what different instruments sound like is so important, so that you think, well, what if the composer notated this in the score? What is it likely that the composer had in his or her mind? And how can I achieve that sound on this particular instrument? Or maybe you think, I'll never achieve that particular sound. There's nothing like it. So what is aurally pleasing? You know, what communicates the music, in other words?
So what happens is that, like in jazz, organists really have to be interpretive. Even if you're playing directly from a score, you have to be able to envision and hear the entire piece.
Oh,
and
sure.
It allows you, the improvisation comes in deciding where it's going to be played.
The art of improvising has never died out.
Yeah. Organists improvise equally as much as jazz players. But they start with, even when they're working with fixed literature, every organ you approach is going to render that literature in a slightly different way. And the art of the organ is to find a way that each instrument can render the music in the most faithful or the most musical way.
So you mentioned that you have a footboard
Yes.
down there that is essentially a piano keyboard.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. That's just what
and,
it is.
And so one of the tricks of this, you have to be very dexterous. And whatever the foot equivalent of dexterous is,
sure,
because
yes.
you have to play with your feet and your hands at the same time.
Yes, yeah, and they do separate things.
And you have to have a good sense of balance.
Yes.
To not fall off the bench. It's happened.
And so could we hear a little bit
sure.
of the foot?
That's a bit.
And so then you do that, but then something else is happening up here.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So you do them together.
So could you give us just a little bit of that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It just sounds so wonderful in this space and on
yeah,
this instrument.
The space is really lovely. It has a lot of room to bloom, so to speak.
It's bright enough without being too bright.
Yeah, you don't lose the focus of the sound. Yeah.
Right. It's just lovely.
We always say that the most important stop on the organ is the room.
Yeah. This is a good room for it.
Well, Larry, tell me what people can expect and what kind of public events are happening with the conference. I'm assuming it's mostly for guild members.
It's primarily for guild members. We have 165 coming in from 16 different states, most of them here in the North Central region, but we have them coming from as far away as California, Ohio, and Florida for this convention. People normally attend in their own region, but people also are free to look around and see what region has the artists I'm interested in. So we've drawn some people from other states as well. We will be going hard from 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon until Wednesday evening. And I have to say that regional conventions are a lot like marathons, because we will be boarding a bus and going for a recital and then a class and then get on the bus and go for another recital and then perhaps some other type of program, a reading session where we read new music. All of this happens, and we bus people from church to church. We have about 12 different venues that we'll be using, almost all of them having wonderful organs. And we will also be having a choral group, which will be performing at the Basilica without organ. So it's a wide variety of music. And we have 8 different artists who range from someone who specializes in French Romantic instrument, Lynn Davis, to Jelani Eddington, who will be presenting a theater organ recital down at the Carmex Labs, where they have a wonderful new theater organ. So it's a wide variety of music. There are 8 or 10 events which are open to the public at no charge. So we're happy to have the general public come to those 8 or 10 recitals. Obviously, the classes and such are not for the public, but our convention attenders will be kept quite busy.
It sounds it. And if there are 12 or 14 different organs, it's going back to what you were saying, the same piece of music is going to be different in every one of those places.
Exactly.
And it's a perfect way to illustrate that.
Yes. Yeah.
So, Crawford, what are you looking forward most to hearing?
Probably the recital that's going to be here. I don't get to hear many other people play the instrument, so it'll be lovely to actually sit down and listen to someone else play her.
And it'll be exciting because the artist who's going to be playing here is Greg Zelick, who's the municipal organist in Madison, a recent graduate of the Juilliard School, and just a terrific, terrific player.
So that's
one of our young artists.
One of the young artists. That's going to be amazing. Well, I hope to catch up with you at some point and find out what you thought of how he handled the instrument.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank both of you so much, and best of luck with the conference. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you.
Larry Wheelock is a local organist and coordinator of the 2019 North Central Regional Convention of the American Guild of Organists. Crawford Wiley is the director of liturgy and music at St. Jude the Apostle Parish in Wauwatosa.
Thanks to WUWM's audio engineer Jason Reavy for recording us and the organ, and to the news department's Angelina Mosier-Salazar for taking the photos and video that you'll find on our website, wuwm.com. There is a link there as well to the convention's public performances.